the name of Jesus Christ. All right, therefore, let us say after me, everybody. Say, I am filled with the knowledge of His will. In all spiritual wisdom and understanding. I walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. I please Him in all respects. I bear fruit in every good work. And I increase in the knowledge of God. See, as the word of God is coming forth this evening, I receive it. I have understanding in it. And it enters into the depths of my heart. In the name of Jesus Christ. Say, I say heart. Heart. I'm speaking to your heart now. You see, you have to learn to give instructions, all right? Say heart. Be open. Receive the word of God. Be filled with light. And receive life. In the name of Jesus Christ. All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Now, what I try to do, now let's not ever forget to do that as Christians. We must always utter, you utter an instruction. Very important. Now, Jesus came to that tree and told the tree, what's going on there? Nothing. Okay, nothing will ever happen here again. And that's it. You understand my point? That instruction, he was not praying. He was not, you know, like the way we talk about prayer. No, he just spoke a word to things. And that's one of the habits we must learn as Christians. That, you know, in this life, God has given us authority as His children. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
And you must learn to exercise that authority. It's not every time that you seem to be crying and making petitions. There are times you just utter words, direct words, especially in the areas where you have authority. For example, if you're a parent in your home, learn to utter direct words concerning the lives of your children. Learn to utter direct words. Do you understand my point? It's not just about, you know, like I told, there are stages in prayer. It gets to a point in which, I mean, you have made your petitions, you have made supplications. All that is now remaining just for you to release the word that God will use to bring effect in that situation. Do you understand that point? All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. If you're excited to be a child of God, give me an amen.
Amen.
All right, I like that amen. Sounds very convincing, okay? Yes, sometimes I wonder about it. I say, people who don't know Christ, how did they manage? I still remember one thing Bishop Mike Okonkwo said once when this was in Winners Chapel in Lagos. He said he should give an altar call after he finished preaching. The way he said it that day was so funny. He said, you are in this Lagos and you are not born again. You are very bold. He said, how you are doing it, I don't know. In these perilous times, you are walking around without Christ in your life. Ah, the fact that you are bold, that I don't have your kind of boldness. And that's a matter of fact. All right? Sometimes when I look at people who don't know, they don't attend to the word of God. Sometimes I wonder, I say, like, what do you use to order your life? Do you understand my point? On what platform? What is the structure? What is the template you are building your life on? If you don't order your life with the word of God, one day you will smoke Indian hemp. No. It doesn't mean you join the gang. It just means how else will you order? A day you are going to wake up and life will just be confusing. Men who go on drugs, you see a man, he has made millions and millions of dollars. And then he wakes up one day, he decides to hang himself because he's on drugs. The simple thing is that he was not building his life using the word of God as a template. When I see people like that sometimes, I actually feel sorry. That is like, it's pity. Like, oh boy, how are you managing? Just living life uselessly like this? Honestly, for me, I feel very privileged. Sometimes I just sit down there and I just thank God. Lord, thank you because my life has purpose. And that is, everybody's life has a purpose, but that I understand it. Thank you that you called me, you made me know you. I wake up in the morning, I have something in my mouth. I can say to the Lord, thank you. You know, there's a song in my mouth, in my heart, a song of gratitude that, Lord, thank you. For those who don't know Christ, I feel sorry for them. When you want to preach to somebody, next time just say, oh boy, you know I want to talk to you. I'm feeling sorry for you. So, what do you mean you're feeling sorry for me? Let me explain. All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. So once again, if you're excited to be a child of God, give me another amen.
Amen.
All right. Now let's continue what I began to talk about last time. You know, last time I said I was talking about God-centered praying. Can you remember that? You know, I listened to the message afterwards and I was laughing. I said, no wonder everybody was laughing when I was preaching. Because I realized that actually what we said, I didn't remember them. I didn't plan to say those things I said. But later on, I heard and I said, wow. So that was the thing, those are the things I said that day. Oh, that was very defined. I wished I was in your shoes. You know what I'm saying? I wanted to come around and sit down while somebody else was doing that. But anyway, it doesn't matter. The Lord is still good. I said the Lord is good. So I want to continue from that point today. You know, I said I want to talk about God-centered praying. But at the end of the day, although we said a bit about that, but it was more like I was dragging people away from Satan-centered praying. Do you understand? And I'm saying it again, that's the problem, one of the problems in today's Christianity. The prayers are not well focused. And that's what I'm trying to teach again, how to focus the prayers properly. I made a statement then, let me make it again. You read through the whole Bible, you hardly find Satan or the devil being a prayer point. It's very, very difficult for you to find. All right? Satan is never a prayer point. I know, like, you wake up in the morning. You know, I took time out this afternoon to go through every single reference to praying or prayer or prayers, you know, supplications, stuff like that, petitions in the whole of the New Testament. You know, this is modern day. It's very easy. It's not like the days of Cruden, Alexander Cruden. You have to read everything and be marking it. Now, just type the keywords and everything will pop out in front of you. It didn't take too long. But I took time out to go through every single one, especially the ones in which the reference was to the content of the prayers, not just about, okay, and then they were gathered praying. You know, there was nothing said about what they said. They just said, okay, men ought always to pray. That nothing was said about what the prayer would contain. And the church met and they prayed. You understand? And then you say, give attention to praying. Those ones, nothing was said about the content of the prayers. I took time out to look for the ones in which something was said specifically about the content of the prayer. All right, I prayed for you that this will happen for you. I remembered you in my prayer and I asked God to do this. You know, I went through it again. And then I did not find anywhere. I did not find anywhere where the devil or the adversary, do you understand what I'm saying? Or enemies. I did not find anywhere in the New Testament where those things were prayer points. Didn't find one place. Didn't find the closest is when you hear things like, pray that you don't enter into temptation. And that's because we know who the tempter is. That was the closest. See, if you live your life not praying about the devil, you haven't missed anything at all. I'm saying this again. You haven't missed anything. If you live your life without praying about the witches, you have missed nothing. What have you missed?
Nothing.
I didn't hear you well.
Nothing.
Talk like you know, like you believe me. You know what I'm saying? You've missed nothing. Sometimes I want to pray. Maybe somebody's planning a wedding, planning a function. I don't know. My mind just went to wedding. Maybe somebody's planning a wedding here. All right? Prayer points is lined up on all the people that don't want the wedding to succeed. Have you noticed it?
Yes.
We'll begin to bind and scatter them. And we feel very, 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 you know, we feel charged up. I did not find any example like that in the Bible. No, you know, sometimes, some of these things, they're radically, when you think about them, see, there are prayer points that I tell people not to pray, all right? When I think about it, sometimes I say, Pastor Frank, are you very sure? I'll go and check again to be sure. I'm sure. I don't know. That's not my point. Yeah, because it sounds reasonable. Let's attack the enemies that said that this wedding will not happen. Let's attack the witches, the places people that have planned. It sounds so funny when you say it is unnecessary. In fact, a lot of people they find it almost impossible to accept what I am saying. And I don't blame them because it makes a lot of sense that when you want to, you know, you should destroy, frustrate the counsel of the devil. Do you understand? But one thing I know for sure that you go through the scriptures. Especially the New Testament. That was not how they prayed. I mean, how more glaring would the opposition be than what the church experienced in the book of Acts? They took them, beat them, imprisoned them, you understand my point? And then instructed them, don't build a church in this area. You get what I'm saying? And then they gathered, because they don't pray in the, don't preach in that name again. That's what they said, all right? And they now gathered themselves to pray. And when they were going to pray, how did they pray? Let's just read it. I think it would be good. It is really interesting how they prayed. Okay, let's go down to the book of Acts. We'll see how the church prayed there. Chapter 4. Let me read from verse 18, just to quickly get down to where the problem was. And when they had summoned them, they commanded them, that's the Sanhedrin, the elders, okay? Let's back up slightly. It said, verse 13, and when they observed that the confidence of Peter and John and understood that they were uneducated and untrained men, all right, they realized they were with Jesus Christ. And then in verse, I'm just going to summarize the previous, okay, let's just, verse 16. So what the men now gathered themselves, they counseled in verse 15. In verse 16, they said, what shall we do with these men? For the fact that a noteworthy miracle has taken place through them is apparent to all who live in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. So then I said, what are we going to do? Verse 17, he said, but so that it will not spread any further among the people, let us warn them to speak no longer to any man in this name, that is the name of Jesus. 18, and when they had summoned them, they commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to give heed to you rather than to God, you be the judge. Now, of course, and they said all the things they wanted to say. Now, let's now go down to what happened afterwards when the people went to pray. Verse 23 says, when they had been released, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. And when they heard this, they lifted up their voices to God with one accord. Now, let's listen to what they said in prayer. O Lord, it is you who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them. That was they were quoting the scriptures. Now, notice what the first thing they did. They magnified the name of God. They called upon the name of the Lord. He said, who by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said, why did the Gentiles rage and the people devise futile things? The kings of the earth took their stand and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. Now this is Psalm 2 they are quoting. For truly in this city they were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you have anointed, both Herod and Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of the land. Now please, because of time, I'm going to just jump here and there. In verse 29, and now, Lord, take note of their threats. Now, please notice this. Now, Lord, take note of their threats. And what are you going to do for us? Because you've heard their threats. Let me first give us the modern-day Pentecostal prayer. Let them somersault and die. Let Holy Ghost fire burn them. That's how, you know now. If it is us today, that would have been our focus. Even if not me, when they talk, I will kill somebody. Lord, that mouth they used to say that we should not preach, let that mouth not speak again. That's the kind of thing, I'm telling you the truth. That is what I would have done too. If I didn't have this example, the man that said we should not preach, go into his house, make him beg. No, think about it. That's how we preach. That was how we have prayed. But why did these people pray? Let's look at it. He said, Lord, this is what you are going to do for us. Behold their threats and grant that your bond servants may speak your word with all confidence. While you extend your hand to heal, and signs and wonders take place through the name of your holy servant Jesus. Prayer point end. Answer began. Do you understand my point? That's all. That is, all of these threatenings, I suspect that the reason why they spoke like that was because the Lord had told them, don't worry, persecution is part of your job. I suspect. In fact, the more I'm saying it, the more I'm realizing that it makes a lot of sense. Persecution is part of it. Don't expect this to stop. You are going to be confronting the area that darkness held. So they are going to react. So they didn't think any big deal about it. If I remember when they were beaten, they were so happy. Say, wow. How many strokes? Just two more. Let me. How many did you give John? You gave John one more. I mean, how can John go there and say he was beaten more for Jesus Christ than me? All right, okay, share it equally. Whatever you give John, give me. They went back home. Guys, see my back. What happened? You fight for motorpark? No, be motorpark. No, that was the attitude. So this is not a motorpark beating. No. This now preaching. See, oh boy, you don't arrive. They're not beating you for Christ. Where did you preach? Oh no, really. Our mindset now and theirs, very, very, very different. What will have rejoiced is, my God, God tossed the keys there. When I finished preaching, one man came, was so blessed, gave me the hammer. You know now, that is the testimony. He was so blessed. The man just said, my God, this kind of word. And listen, such things can happen. Amen? Most certainly. But then, the point is that was not what they were bragging about. That's what I'm trying to emphasize. For them, that was not a bragging point. The bragging point was that, oh boy, when I finished preaching, the place was so shaking, the enemies of darkness were so threatened. They began to stone us. One stone hit me just here. Did you faint? No, I have the power of Christ in me. I can't faint. Do you understand what I'm going to say? Did he cut? I caught. I had to bleed him. How else will I prove to you that he stole? You know, that was the kind of thing these men were bragging about. They were not bragging about somebody gave me a $1 million offering. No. It wasn't a bragging point. The bragging point is that, yes, I've been counted worthy to suffer for this truth. I've been counted worthy to be beaten for this name. That was their bragging point. So when they were going to pray, their prayer was not the way we will pray today. It wasn't focused on the enemies. They said, what was annoying them was because we preached. God, please, deliver. Now listen to what I want to rephrase their prayer now. Deliver us from the temptation of shying away from speaking in that name. Deliver us from the temptation that will make us fear and therefore will not be able to speak boldly. Lord, despite their threatening, please grant that we will speak boldly in that name. And as we are speaking boldly, you do your part. Do you understand? Just be healing the sick. Be raising the dead. Be doing miracles. As we are doing that, pour boldness upon us. After that, let those who want to stone. Are you getting what I'm saying? In the midst of temptation, in the midst of direct opposition. It was not a prayer point. They were not saying, all my enemies, those who said this crusade will not hold. Listen, let me tell you the truth. There are times some people will say the crusade will not hold. Amen? Yeah, it will happen. There's nothing you can do about that one. If you say, God, let it never happen, he won't answer you. You are not praying in accordance with his will. In this world, you will have tribulations. That's the word of God. Now, praise the Lord, we want to pray that tonight, in our life, we are praying, there will no longer be tribulations. Because if you stop preaching, there won't be tribulations. If you stop living according to the truth, there will no longer be tribulations. But as long as you are preaching the truth and living according to it, there will be tribulations. Then, despite your tribulations, be of good cheer. That's the commandment. Are you getting what I'm going to explain there? That's how it is. There are things you can't pray about. But he said, even while that tribulation is going on, whereas the oppositions are present, God, please, make sure I always speak boldly. Those men did not make the oppositions a prayer point. But I was going to make a statement, and this is how it is. God is alive. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
and he will defend his own cause. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
I think the worst prayer I ever heard Paul pray against anybody who opposed him was that God will reward the person according to his works. I have noticed those men were very careful not to judge. Yes. Very, very careful. Very, very careful. When it came to the matter of the gospel, the only people the church judged, this is the interesting part, the people they judged were Christians. Check it. Ananias and Sapphira, they were not unbelievers. They were people who believed and they were converted. And Peter killed them. Peter killed them, both of them. The other one, okay, they didn't tell us his name. The guy in the church in Corinth who took his father's wife. Remember that fellow? Paul said, I delivered him to Satan. Oh my God. Yeah. For the destruction of the flesh. And for us, for his own good. So that his spirit will be saved. So he said, that man, when people tell you that God knows they do bad things, forget that, you know. Paul said, I deliver, that is, I, where is he? Give him over to Satan. Let Satan injure him. And the man was strongly afflicted. Look, this man didn't bother. The only person I can tell is Alexander the coppersmith. He said, that man did me much evil. May God pay him according to his works. That is the worst prayer I heard this man pray for those people. But when we want to pray, no. Oh, our prayers have not been good. We can take a whole night praying on all the people that said we will not do well in life. Listen, I was making a statement. I'm not finished making it. God is alive. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
He knows how to destroy his enemies at the appropriate time. God is alive. Amen.
Amen.
I say one more time. He will destroy his enemies at an appropriate time. There was one statement I made once. This was many years ago. Once I went for a meeting, a convention, and some brethren were speaking so, you know, just cursing and speaking negatively about the ruler of the country, our head of state that time. And I was really grieved. I actually challenged the brother who was speaking that time. He answered me back in a way I didn't appreciate. I didn't like it. What he was doing was wrong, was out of order. And I made a statement then. So later in the evening, I was supposed to preach one of the meetings or teach a Bible class. And I just wanted to help brethren, all right? I said, brethren, look, there are things we should not be doing. I said, it is wrong for us as Christians to speak negatively about the ruler in our country. And that is scripture. The only thing you are allowed to do is to pray for him. You are not allowed to criticize. I'm serious about that. You are not allowed. The more you criticize, the more you remove his ability to do well. These things are spiritual. You are not allowed to. There are statements you don't make. This man is just clueless. It must not mistakenly drop from your mouth. If it drops, collect it back. Swallow it. Say, Lord, I'm sorry. You are not allowed. No matter how angry you are about it, you are not allowed. If the thing pains you so much, that's one thing about Christianity. I was reading today as I was going through those things, the reference I told you about. I realized that, oh, God put so much emphasis on praying. Paul would say that, look, I want to, he said, he was writing to Philemon. I think, yes, that was it. And he said, look, that I pray God will give me to you in a visit. That is, if you ask God for it, he will make it possible for me to come and see you. That thing, it never struck me until today. Okay, ask God for it. In response to your prayers, I will be given to you in visit one of these days. I said, my God. These things like this really happen. I remember one man who said that he just wanted, he just gave his life to Christ, was a rock star. They had this Jesus Christ Superstar series long ago. I don't know what I mean. This was long ago, it's not recent. Jesus Christ Superstar. It was a rock performance. It was a mockery of Christianity, actually. I watched a bit of the film, but they used to do live stage performances. One of the men, either the man who acted Jesus then, I don't know whether that's the guy who did the film, okay? But I read his story in Full Gospel Voice. I think that's where I read it. Or one magazine, anyway. He said one of those days before, as he was about to mount the stage to go and act that Jesus Christ, a demon possessed him. Not a joke. He became possessed. He was a rock star, rock musician, you know. He said he was, that is, you may see them, do, of course, it was all in mockery. Do you understand my point? Now, later on, he got delivered and he gave his life to Christ. I'm bringing an issue here. He was a big man, rich, multi-millionaire, you know, the way it is. He said, after he gave his life to Christ, one day he actually prayed that God would make it possible for him to meet people like Billy Graham as a young Christian. And God said, no problem. God didn't say, he didn't hear anybody say, no problem. Just that one day, Billy Graham was coming to the city where he was. And they just called him, whether he would be glad, he would be willing to be the driver of the limo. That I don't know whether you hear the point. Whether he would drive the limo that would carry Billy Graham. He jumped at the opportunity. Now, he had people driving him himself. Do you understand my point? But he said, so as to finally connect with some of these men that have the grace of God, let me drive. So that day, he gladly took the car, drove to the airport, waited to pick Billy Graham. And that was how God answered his prayer. Such a trivial thing you think it would be, appear like, but God answered it. I'm going to emphasize the fact that God answers prayers. Do you understand what I'm saying? He does. God emphasized, you know, so many of the things. Paul wrote today to Philemon and told him that, listen, let me quickly read the reference out. No, don't bother opening your Bible to it. Let me read it out and then we'll continue. That's Philemon, the first one chapter, verse 22. He said, and at the same time, also prepare me a lodging. All right? He told him some things, do what I have said. He said, meanwhile, prepare for me a lodging. For I hope that through your prayers, I shall be given to you. That I'm coming to visit you. My hope is that you will pray about it, and God will grant that prayer request so that I will be able to visit you. So prepare a place for me to stay when I will come. That's what I'm going to emphasize. Actually, God answers prayers, all right? So God lays a lot of emphasis on this thing. So if you find out the leader of the country is not doing what he's supposed to do in your assessment, just instead of cursing and criticizing, turn it to a prayer point. Like this Boko Haram Wahala that has been in mainly two states of the north, what a lot of people say that, what is wrong with the military? What is wrong with Jonathan? What is wrong? What is wrong? What is wrong with this? What is wrong with that? What is wrong with this? What is wrong with this? Why don't they do this? Why don't they do that? Oh, this country, and that's the end of it. Have you noticed you have said nothing? The only effect of everything you said, all right, is negative. There's nothing positive about it, nothing. You could have said the same thing, say, Lord, the way this thing is going is not good. Give them wisdom. Strengthen the military. Strengthen the army. Give wisdom to the commanders. Victory is spiritual. I remember reading Derek Prince I heard the message when he was talking about aggressive prayer. How the Holy Spirit gave him a prayer to pray during the Second World War. And one day he actually heard somebody announcing how that thing happened. But he had prayed. The simple words he used was like, Lord, give us leaders so that through him you will give us victory. Through them, you will give us victory for your own glory. Something like that. Can't remember the exact word, but that's the summary. Just a simple sentence. And then the commander of that North African campaign was removed. A new one was brought. As that one was coming, his plane crashed and he died. So quickly, Winston Churchill had to appoint another commander. So he appointed, according to him, a little known general called General Montgomery. And the man appeared, and the first thing he did was to turn the military officers upside down. Because the main problem they had was indiscipline. The morale was low amongst the soldiers because the officers were just indisciplined. So the first thing the man did was to put discipline to everybody. And then when they were going to now have the final showdown, I've watched many of the analyses on the National Geographic, you know, as they're talking about, in fact, that very, very battle, the battle of, is it El Alamein? Yes, okay. So I've heard the analysis, but you see, before I watched the analysis, I heard the Prince talk about it. He said, once he sat down after the war, after they won the battle, that was the deciding battle, all right? He said, this little known general People hardly knew him. He came and faced one of the toughest generals in the German army. And of course, he won the battle. He said, but one day they were saying it on radio. We were listening to it by shortwave radio. Somebody was describing the scene in the headquarters before the battle began. So that man gathered the men and said, let us pray. Let us ask the Lord of hosts to give us victory in this battle for his own glory. That was what that general prayed before he went to battle. Because one lowly soldier was somewhere asking God, give us leaders who through them you can give us victory for your own glory. Almost using his own words, the commanding general that was just summarily appointed by the British Prime Minister. That was exactly what the man prayed. That is, God answered his prayers. That's the point I'm making. Make every complaint, you turn your own to prayers. What did I say? Every complaint, turn your own to prayers. And God will answer you. Did I hear an amen?
Amen.
He will. Victory, listen to me, is of the Lord. We are the salt of the earth. We are the light of this nation. If everybody talks nonsense, we will live in nonsense. I honestly, everybody, I don't mean every... Look, all those men who gather downstairs there to be drinking, they can say what they like. It doesn't matter much. It's when you and I talk the nonsense, that's when it becomes very weighty. You are getting my point? I was saying something, you know, I'm trying to just finish what I was saying. So then I told the brother then, remember I knew where I took off, all right? So I told my brother then, I said, listen, we are not allowed. When God is ready, he knows how to kill who he has to kill. That if he's tired of this head of state, we all criticize him. He will just kill him. I didn't know I was speaking prophetically. The following month, we woke up in the morning, I heard the man was dead, suddenly. But I remember making that statement. I said, don't worry about it. You see, the more you pray good prayers, the more it injures bad people. Did you hear what I said? Let me say it again. If you face the leadership of this nation and you are pouring good prayers in their direction, God give them wisdom. Let them do what is right. Let them do what is right. Lord, lift up the righteous, bring down the wicked. And these are good prayers. These are scriptural prayers. Lord, judge iniquity in the land. But for the leaders, this is a prayer point. Give them wisdom so that things will work out well. If you keep on praying, Lord, give them wisdom so that any man that won't receive wisdom will be impeached. As wisdom is coming, wisdom is coming, wisdom is coming. He said, receive me. Oh. He said, leave me, I want to eat money. He said, the people out there are praying that I should come in. Man said, listen, I have to eat money. I'm going to shoot that local government. They didn't vote for me. Just watch. And people here are praying, oh Lord, we thank you for our local government chairman. We thank you for our governor. We thank you for our senate president. And in the name of Jesus, give them, as you are saying it, man said, no. I am going to do what is inside my heart. Wisdom will say, well, since I have been asked to come and feel whoever is in here, and you are not worthy. Michael, do you have any instructions? Say, yes, I do. What do you want to do? Just move back. Wisdom, give me 1 minute. Phew! Remove somebody's head. And wisdom will tell the fellow coming in, you, do the will of God. Otherwise, I step back. Michael is still there. You know this Michael, you know they smile. There's one angel that does not smile. His name is Michael. If you say, look, listen, if you dream one dream one night, and you see a big, you know, wicked-looking fellow coming your direction, don't be afraid. He's not the devil. You hear what I said? He's not the devil. Most likely, it's Michael. And he has no problem with you. Look, even if he looks like he's running towards you, he's running towards the fellow behind you. Don't worry about it. The Lord is good. You know, just by the way, I was giving a lecture to students yesterday. At the end, I was just cracking a joke. I was telling them to something. I was just making a joke about it. Along the line, I debated. I said, listen, some people, and I'm saying it again, you know how you interpret dreams better? Say, if you fly in your dream, some people say, that means you have a Obanje spirit. I said, no, that's not Christian interpretation. Christian interpretation is that if you fly in your dream, you are going far. If you are going to America, if somebody swim to America, Or you walk to America and you're all right. No. If you are going far, what do you do? So next time you fly your dream, wake up in the morning and say, praise God, I'm going far. I'm serious about it. I'm not joking. Don't let anybody come and corrupt the plan of God for your life. I dreamt you were flying. Yeah, I'm going far. I always knew where I was going to get to in life. It's so great, I can't trek there. That's why you dreamt that I'm flying. And that's why I dreamt that I'm flying. What if I dream that I'm swimming? Well, there are many interpretations. One, it means you can swim. Amen. Praise God. We thank God for that. Or another one which I like is that the house you are going to build will have a swimming pool. The Lord is good. It doesn't mean witches are after you. They can't be after you. It's not possible. It is not possible. Amen?
Amen.
Back to what I was saying. Anyway, let me not forget to, you know.